The following message, Remembering Marie, was delivered at the funeral of Marie Kristen Frito on May 5, 2010, by her pastor, Brian Smith, of Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan.
We gather here with broken hearts, with crushed spirits, as people desperately in need of a word of grace and hope, the light that might even shine in the midst of this darkness. We want now to hear from God, hear from God's word, and to allow these words that were inspired to be made alive in our hearing here today. Words that might convey in some way a measure of grace or hope, to give us strength to walk through this difficult time. I want to share, first of all, a song. It's a familiar song, perhaps, to many of you. It's a reflection of a person who understood that there are times like this when we walk through dark valleys. As I read these words, may they find a place in your heart here today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Truly goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our next reading is from a prophet named Isaiah, who sought to speak into a desperate time. The people of Israel had been in exile for 70 years. Had felt God had forsaken them and abandoned them. And that sense of feeling alone and cut off, God spoke these words. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God will not grow tired or weary. His understanding, no one can fathom. God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even young people grow tired and weary, and youthful folks stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. There was a man named Paul who was a leader in the early church, who faced a lot of persecution and loss, trials and tribulations in his life. And what about a life filled with hardship? In the end of his life, Paul began to reflect on what he had learned about God, about life, hardship, and he came to this conclusion. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or want, or danger, or sore. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The God who created Marie, the God who created each one of us, has promised to make a new creation, a creation where there will not be any more death or dying or tears. A man named John here in church was given a vision that continues to offer hope to those who want to see it. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with people, and God will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down. These words are trustworthy and true." Marie Christine lived her life in an extraordinary way. An extraordinary and rare way. A week before Marie died, I watched a movie called The Music Within. Perhaps you've seen it. At the beginning of the movie, there's a quote that's shown there. It was spoken by Oliver Wendell Holmes. He said, "Many people die, but their music's still in them." Why is this so? Too often, it is because they're always getting ready to live. Before they know it, time runs out. Thank God. Thank God that wasn't true of Marie. Marie shared her music. And she shared it in a brash, quirky, and colorful way. Marie didn't create the music. She wasn't a composer. God had given her the tune, filling her with a dazzling array of gifts. Marie made the bold choice, the rare choice, to express what God had placed within her. I mean, God was ridiculously generous in the gifts he gave Marie. She had an extraordinary mind. The mind was always running, but always running on a deeper track than most of us run on. A neighbor who knew Marie since Marie was 8. Marie babysat her kids. She said that everything Marie did had depth to it. Everything was thought through. She shared how Marie would show up to babysit armed with treats and lesson plans in hand. She wanted the time she had those kids to be well spent, to be productive. Later, when Marie tutored these same children, she always, always showed up prepared. Marie had a mind that pondered, questioned, wrestled with big ideas. She had a subscription to Psychology Today. Her dad told me that Marie tried to get him to gain a deeper appreciation of Shakespeare. But Marie's mind didn't just absorb other people's thoughts. She had her own mind. profoundly creative, was a skilled and talented artist. And like most artistic folks, Marie saw things from a different perspective often than other folks. Whenever you stop to see it from Marie's perspective, you could realize the truth of what she was sharing. Marie's mind was not only sharp and deep, but also could come to a laser focus. And her mind got set on something. That was it. But Marie was not only given a tremendous mind, she also had a profound heart. She had a deep, deep desire to help people. Her mom shared that at the end of the third grade, for example, Marie had a teacher who was struggling as a teacher to teach her class. At the end of school year, Marie, all of 8 years old, sat down with the teacher to give some advice on how she might handle this class better. When I was at the GSA visual at the high school on Thursday, I was touched by how many people spoke. How Marie would always notice people who needed help. Her eyes always seemed to be attuned to where someone was hurting, needed a friend, needed some expression of support or friendship, that Marie would always step into that need. She was prompted by compassion and by love. Marie got a joyful spirit, a love of life. Many of you read on her Facebook recollection of coming out of the building and feeling mist upon her cheeks, on her face, sharing how she loved being alive. And one of the places that Marie felt most alive was in nature. She loved being outside. She loved thunderstorms and forests. She also loved the nature that was part of her backyard. She and her sister Michelle spent hours walking around in bare feet, loving the outdoors, rejoicing in God's creation. And Marie had a particular love for animals. I heard it on the first night of a new house. Marie headed over to the neighbor's house. The neighbor had a dog that she wanted to see. Now, sometime in the middle of the night, sometime between midnight and 5 a.m., there's not quite agreement about exactly what time it was, but Marie went over to the neighbor's house and began to knock on the front door. We didn't know that the neighbor was sleeping. But when no one answered the front door, Marie went to the back door. The neighbors finally answered. Marie had one word. Hund. Something close to that. A German word for dog. And you can imagine this poor neighbor staring at this 8-year-old girl speaking German to her, having no idea what Marie was talking about. Marie came home frustrated that this neighbor has no understanding of what she was talking about. She loved dogs, all kinds of animals. She helped to nurse a bird back to health. A bird that several years later still makes its home outside of a window in the Friedel's home. Marie didn't just love animals, though. She was committed to them. Marie had this reality that caused her to put her principles into action. And so often we as human beings might have convictions or principles, but you know, putting into action requires some effort. So often we would talk or debate or shake our heads. Not Marie. Marie thought something was true, was worth defending. And so because she was troubled by the way that animals are raised and harvested for food, she was a vegetarian. Her heart always went out with a sense of compassion for the oppressed. She had a heart for mission. Cared for the poor. Just this last March, she accompanied her dad and many others, many of you who are here, down to a mission trip to help rebuild the area devastated by Hurricane Katrina. Her hope is to go back again. And along that trip this time, Marie and her dad, Thomas, helped a homeless man. Gave them about a 5-hour car ride. And of course, when they got to the end of the car ride, Marie promised that she would help this man if he needed anything. He happened to make his way to Washington State. Marie was given a heart for justice. She thought it was absolutely ridiculous that people could be marginalized and oppressed based on things like sexual orientation. And so she joined the Gay Straight Alliance and helped provide a heart, the leadership, the spirit of that organization. You know, you don't take a stand for justice, you don't stand with those who are marginalized unless there's some degree of being fearless of your convictions. I don't know how it happened, but somehow Marie learned to be comfortable, profoundly comfortable in her own skin. She had the freedom of not really caring what other people thought. She wasn't trapped or bound. She did not find a need to conform herself to what other people might expect. Marie was Marie, and she lived from that place. The part of her life mission, I think, was to help people to step out of safe borders. To really live. To discover their true selves. To explore life and the world around them. Marie is an amazing person. When I think of her, so much comes to mind. Perhaps the thing that rises up for me most of all is a scripture verse. It's very simple. It's two words. Jesus said, "Judge not." Two simple words, but words most folks have an extraordinarily hard time obeying. We find all sorts of exceptions, of course, to that. But not Marie. Marie didn't judge anyone that I'm aware of. She seemed to accept everyone as they were. She didn't place any preconceived conditions of how you had to be to earn her affection or friendship. She just created space for people. When I think of Marie, I think of a prophet. Someone who understood that there are pretty crappy things in this world. There are mindsets, there are powers, there are ways of thinking that aren't right. But he always modeled what the right way looks like. Even if it earned some rejection or scorn, she was a deeply courageous person. What a mind, what a heart, what a spirit. Marie had a deep spiritual core. She was on the multimedia team at the church where I pastor, actually, the Presbyterian Church. Marie would show up at an out before she needed to. Sometimes she was there waiting to get in before I got there. The other day I had to drop her off early. She would come in. And sometimes she would just sit in the sanctuary. And she'd remark how peaceful it was. She'd help to prepare communion prayer. And it just raveled in the symbolism of what that was about. She'd help our director of children's ministry to go down and make sure all the classrooms were ready for the children that morning. She lived from an inner core. She was drawn to peace, to beauty, and to adventure. And I agree with Oliver Wendell Holmes that many people die music still within them, but not Marie. The composition that she shared blessed us all. Marie did not live long, not nearly long enough, but she lived deeply, wildly, beautifully. Marie didn't waste her time getting ready to live. She just lived. And I give thanks to God for blessing us with her. And we are called to take hope in the truth that Marie, who loved being alive, is now with her Creator and is more alive than ever before. May we live